cardstock?
I'm fancy.
I was going to say, either it's on cardstock or you have a novel to read to me today.
Well, I do. I have a captive audience. Now I want to read to you my... Let me get you my demo. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Really? Pretty good.
You seem good.
I'm doing good. I had a good day.
You had a good day of hard work.
Hard work. I raked all day. Hung out with the cat a lot today. He had his first outside day to go and enjoy the world.
I got to meet him today for the first time.
So fucking chill.
He's funny and he's the chillest cat I've ever seen. Chill.
He's a dog cat, which is exactly what I needed. He's essentially a dog. I can rub his belly. I can hold him upside down, grab his paws. He truly could not care as long as he's sitting on a body.
And he kind of gets right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just, as soon as I walked out a second ago to go grab some from the car, and as soon as the door opened, he's just like, oh, somebody's here for me
to follow. Yeah, he just wants to put his body on you. It's what he wants.
Oh, boy.
How was your week? It's been a minute since I've asked you that.
It has. Mm-hmm. That was our thing.
Mm-hmm. How soon we forget. We've forgotten many things that we've done for like 8 or 9 episodes and then stopped doing.
And then just stop doing them, yeah. And I like to think that they'll make a return organically. Mm-hmm. And we'll just figure it out.
They'll just come back.
It does feel a little unnatural having to look at my mic this way and I know. Talk to
it
you
looks, what it looks
this
like
way.
You're doing is you're just...
Does it look like I'm giving you a very
yes.
sassy, like,
yes.
Did you know? Well, I'm really excited about my topic today.
I can tell. You've been giving me hints a
Have
little
I?
Bit.
Have well, I? Well, I swore for a minute I thought we were going to finally have our first overlap.
Yeah, you texted me that. And I was just like, I promise that's not the case.
And it's just because it was mentioned last episode that we've never done an episode on this.
Grounding?
Yes.
You know, that's funny that you say that because I almost did. I thought about doing grounding and I was just like, that's just a little on the nose. Like, we just talked about it. And so I didn't do it. I'm not saying like you're being on, but still. Like,
oh, no.
I was just like, no, I'll wait.
I'll be the queen of all things on the nose and camp and I'll take it. yeah, so I'm talking about grounding today.
I like that.
And what are you about to try?
I asked Charlie as continuing on, and I was glad that you understood what I was referencing, and I wasn't
absolutely.
Just being so asky to the point of asking you to get me a surprise.
I feel like we should tell the story quickly, briefly.
So I'll say it as I'm lighting it.
Oh,
So
it's lit.
There's a story of when, so Charlie and me and my brother and my mother and Charlie's mother all drove to Disneyland, right? Disneyland or Disney World?
The one in Florida.
The one in Florida.
World, I believe.
Drove there with us three kids and my mother and my aunt, Charlie's mom.
They must have been driven.
I think they were because I remember them being shrill.
Oh, yeah.
And we drove in the same vehicle all the way there with like snacks and shit.
And we would take turns lying down in the floorboard, which you're not supposed to do. And when they would catch us doing it,
we were horrible. Like I remember driving them nuts, like driving by line. And we were just being dicks to them. And yeah, we would just do all kinds of shit. They'd have to whip around.
If you've ever taken children on a road trip, you already get the idea.
Oh. And so we stopped at a gas station at one point. Do you want to tell it?
I remember it
the
so,
older one in this moment.
I remember it so crisply. We stop at a gas station.
I was about 4.
Yeah. So we
5.
Were probably like 9.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we stop at a gas station and we're all in the back seat and Macy is nearest the door on the passenger side, like on the back seat passenger side. So her mom's the one driving. So she gets out of the car, opens up the back, just taking a quick break to come back and like make sure we're doing what
we're
need
still,
to do.
Yeah.
So anyway, she turns around and as she's closing the door behind her to go get her gas, Macy, in this tiny little way with your short little baby arms, you like lean ass, and I don't know how the door didn't shut on you. Can you like lean out of the car and in this desperate voice that like only a needy child can have, Macy calls after her mom, get me a surprise!
So fast forward 22 years, and Charlie had to stop at Hearth Wisdom on her way here. And I texted her in all caps, get me a surprise. And she did. And here we are. So Charlie got me my first ever pack of incense matches.
Yes.
And I could not
Which
be more
just
excited.
Seems like such a stoner thing to have.
I know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I guess they work like a match. I guess you strike it.
You literally, except instead of lighting anything with it, you just let it burn.
If this works, this is fantastic.
It's just fantastic.
Listen, probably everyone out there already knows what we're talking about. I know. And like, we're like, look what we discovered.
And these are hollyberry scented.
Mm-hmm.
Light match, let burn down 1/2 inch, blow out, and place an ashtray as shown above. Okay.
We have anything to receive. We have an Avalerna show.
Yeah, man. Come here. Yeah.
Whoa! Shit.
It's feisty.
Let it burn down exactly.
1/2 inch. I feel like that's like half
that's
the thing.
That's a lot.
I mean, Jesus.
And I'm sure you're probably fine to do it now.
Oh. Well, it decided on its own. Let's see how
We'll
you
see
smell.
How that goes. See if it smells like elderberries or whatever it was supposed to smell like.
Hollyberries.
Tell me what you're talking about. We haven't...
Yes. So here's the thing. I got all excited today thinking I was killing this off, and I'm not. But I thought I was ending the chakra series today, but I'm not. And I was even going to top it off like with it being the crown, but it's not. Because well, because the thing is, and I'm kind of in a pickle in this situation. So I talked about the third eye. But I did not talk about the third eye chakra. That was before I started doing chakras.
I guess technically, yeah.
And
you just
so,
talked about the idea.
Yeah. And so I just forgot about that and thought I'd already done it. And so now it's like, well, I haven't done it, but I need to do it. But it doesn't need to be redundant. So I'm talking about the crown chakra today.
You went around your ass to get to your elbow.
Yes, I did.
So is this capping off the chakra?
No, I'll have to do the third eye eventually.
We're just going to give it some more time.
Give it a year, maybe. Okay.
It's been a year.
It's been.
Oh, fuck me. I was looking through our old, it's reflex at this point. I was looking through our old episodes. I feel like I've said that pretty recently.
I do it kind of on the reg.
I was just looking back at some of our old ones because, in all honesty, I still couldn't believe that we haven't done grounding. And
I know.
So I went trawling through the list and I was reading every single one to make sure that we didn't call it. Sometimes we get sassy and call the episode something not on the nose.
Yeah.
And, just remembering every, it was like you'd read one, you'd be like, oh, I remember that. And you remember what the room looked like when we record.
I know. Well, and like thinking like where we were in our lives.
Yeah.
Because this has gone on long enough now to where it's like, oh, I forgot about that.
It's been,
you know?
So, it's been, don't, I'm going to just do it for myself. I see it in your eyes and you look like actual Satan right now. Half of it, I saw the whole process.
Do I get like a twinkle in my eye
you,
or
you did, but then when I killed it, you like, arched your eyebrows a little. You're kind of that fucking bitch. It's just has been such a long time. And it doesn't feel like it.
I know. It flew by.
But
it's
when you
flown
think
by.
About the fact that we've done this more or less every single week for like a year and a half now.
I know.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And when I think back to us in this room on the floor.
Oh, right there in that
right,
fucking
sharing
corner.
One... Yeti snowball, yeah. Or one blue snowball.
Yeah.
And a piano bench.
That's true. And we were sitting about where that tipped over glass of wine is.
Yes. Do you go first or do I go first?
I have it here that M starts.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But this episode is a Patreon. I thought we were on the same page.
Wait, you said this episode is, and then you started singing. I can't read your mind. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
This
I'm
episode
so
is...
I so often forget that I haven't expressed things out loud. More than any adult should. It's the Patreon shout-out segment.
Great.
Today's episode is brought to you by Mama Rage Bear.
Oh. Mama Rage! cage, bear, still just a rat in a cage.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. I was like, how is that going to work? My mind also immediately went to, you can ring my bell, LL, Mama Rage Bell.
Mama River.
Okay, hold on. Do Bullet with Butterfly Wings again. Do it. That's the
rat. What was her name?
Rat in a cage.
What was her name?
Whose?
Mama Rage Bear?
Mama Rage Bear.
Oh, God. Mama Rage Bear, still just a rat in a cage.
I love all of these. Okay. Tell me about the crown, but
I
not...
I don't care if that guy. No more, it'll see her.
Is this episode just going to be an Eddie Vedder style singing?
Who did that song? Shit. That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
What? Do it again.
Tell me all your thoughts on God, because I really like to meet her. I don't remember. Must have been late afternoon.
Some 90s
Oh, I love
band.
That song. She walked with a purpose. I love it. I loved all that gruff 90s singing.
Well, now I'm just thinking Pearl Jam, and you can't convince me otherwise.
What were you going to say?
I was
going to
say, tell me about the crown chakra.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That is somehow also not the last chakra in the series.
God damn it. I was so excited. I've never actually, like, properly killed off a series yet.
I, by the way, just realized that you're wearing your silky smooth t-shirt.
You're damn right I am.
And it's amazing.
I know.
It, for the, I guess the purchase, the acquisition of your silkies.
Yes.
Hunter got that for you?
Yes. And I love it very much.
Put a picture, because it's a little silky chicken wearing some sunglasses.
Some sweet ass shades is what it's wearing. It's
very cute.
Some dope-lit fam reflector glasses. Yeah, reflector lenses. It's a safety conscious bird.
I love how much your voice wavered when you said bird.
All right. I'm going to talk to you about the crown chakra.
Please do.
I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
I'm coming at you. So the crown chakra. So the Sanskrit name is Sahasrara. I think. So the crown.
But you said it with confidence.
Sahasrara, I believe. Mm. The crown chakra, or the seventh chakra, it's located at the top of your head.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm. And the color associated with the chakra is typically white. However, it can also be like a deep violet, deep, rich, dark purple.
You're turning violet. Violet?
Gold, which is fancy.
Huh.
Or clear.
Okay.
Yeah. Sahasrara translates to 1,000 petals.
Damn.
I know. And it also explains the symbol. So the symbol, you know, they all have like that symbol. The symbol for this one is a circle with like 1,000 petals. Not all of them have 1,000 petals in the drawings. But I think I saw some that might have because there were a shitload of petals.
Damn.
But yeah, so that's the symbol is a circle with like 1,000 petals around
Shit.
It. Yeah. And like the third eye chakra, the crown chakra is associated with the pituitary and pineal gland as well as the hypothalamus. Because of this, the crown chakra governs the endocrine system, very important system, as the hypothalamus and the pituitary work together to regulate that. But on top of that, the crown chakra is tied closely really with your whole brain and your whole central nervous system. Like it just kind of, it's like the top and it's, that's its wheelhouse is it's like.
Your brain.
Your brain.
My brain.
And... surprisingly, and kind of unsurprisingly, the crown chakra shares a connection with the root chakra, which at first it's like, that seems strange. But the more you think about it, you're like, okay, I feel like I can get that. That makes sense. Because while the root chakra is like our main connection with earth and, you know, like our grounded selves, our animal selves, the connection with Mother Earth, earth energy, the crown chakra draws in the energy of the divine, the heavens, the sky. And together they work, allowing us to be balanced within the energies of the earth and sky. So you think about a lot of times when you do visual grounding sessions, you bring it up from your feet and you draw it down from the sky. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, there's like a closed circuit system almost with your crown and your root. They
it's
work
like
together.
Both ends of the straw.
Yes.
That is your body.
Your whole body.
Your whole body. Mm. Do you fall under the belief that your root ends kind of at the taint area, or do you believe that it's down at your feet? Because I've seen both. Most people do say it kind of ends at the perineum area, mm-hmm. which is what I see every time. And I'm like, just say base of the spine.
Yeah. Just say gooch.
Just say it. But I've also seen a lot of people refer to it as like your foot chakra. How
I feel what? Like my well also my root chakra is a big old gal.
It's down to your feet.
Yeah, and so when I like, and I'm just a grounded person anyway, so it's kind of tricky for me to say, because when I feel very grounded and like, which is more often than not, I feel like my feet are encompassed in
right.
it. Like I feel them buzzing, and it yeah. just kind of like it's my whole almost like lower half.
Right,
that might be different for everybody. But that's how it feels for me. I feel like it's just like all the way through my feet.
That makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry to interrupt.
You're good.
I'm just chock full of questions.
We're working shit out today. Well, the third...
Solving ancient questions in the span of 30 minutes.
We're so smart. Well, the third eye chakra is the gateway. You know, it's kind of that gateway between yourself and your intuition, you know, that wisdom of kind of beginning to waltz with spirit instead of just, oh. you know, kind of like be you, you know, just be your old goddamn self.
Born old me.
The crown chakra is kind of that transcendence beyond that. Mm. It's union with spirit, not just connection. So through the crown chakra comes unity with the divine self, you know, the spirit world and the universe. So it's like you're blasting off a little bit, you know, oh. like you're getting in, you're really hanging out more in spirit. So characteristics of the crown chakra and things that kind of it governs. Consciousness, awareness and understanding of the formless and intangible. Mm. So being able to work with that and understand yeah. it and be okay with concepts that you can't truly even grasp, but you'll go for it anyway. Yeah. Spiritual ecstasy and contentment. As well as your spiritual presence, all kind of is wrapped up in that. It allows for the transcendence of limitations that we and society have created for our minds, mm-hmm. as we now understand them, yeah. to kind of be this little simple, honestly, thing that we've turned it into. And right. it's, no, you bust out of that. So here's some signs of imbalance, and these can either be overactive or an underactive crown chakra. So underactive, of course, would lead to a disconnection between your spirit self and, you know, as well, and you. And just not being able to really tap into that divine realm, that divine understanding. Close-mindedness and unwillingness to entertain the possibility of the intangible.
Mm.
That's an underactive one. You know, it's closed off and it's not willing to bust out and right. start going beyond. A disconnection of your spirit self and earth self, so you're almost really disconnected from your earth body.
Right.
And that's if it's overactive. That's yeah. if you're literally, your head's like in the clouds, you're all crown. You're not grounded. I mean, yeah. There's not an anchor. Living in your head and neglecting earthly matters, mm-hmm. you'll have issues. You can have potentially issues grounding yourself. If you have one that's overactive, like grounding can be difficult for mm-hmm. you. It doesn't come very easy. No sense of togetherness with your fellow man. That's an underactive. So if you don't feel that unity, you know, because a lot of when it comes to that awakening of the crown chakra in your spirit stuff, you realize we're all one, you know, we're right. all the same under the same universe and things like that. And you get more of a, you know, that feeling of community and sense of spirit, mm. and if yours is underactive, you can feel very alone.
Hmm.
So how do you balance this thing? How do you balance your crown?
Headstands.
Well, the half lotus yoga position. So you know, like their classic meditation, like you basically sit and you're cross-legged, but your feet are on top
yeah,
of your legs.
Yeah,
I can't do that. Mm. My knees are shit, and I'm having to work through flexibility. But half lotus is just one foot. And the other one's kind of tucked under.
Oh, okay.
And it's a little easier to do.
Oh, okay.
So you can do half lotus or lotus in a meditative pose. And that kind of is drawing energy through your root, you know, all the way to your head, straight backed. Surround yourself in violet, deep purples and things like that.
Such, as soon as somebody's just like draped in violet, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I just want to be in a, like a violet velvet room.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel like that's also very 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the woman who, like, has the purple, they call her the purple woman?
Yes, she's adorable. She's got the,
everything's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetie.
Sweetie. I know her. Light, okay, so here, a little bit of candle magic. Mm-hmm. You can light a purple candle and focus on just awakening your third eye. Perhaps try fire gazing into it and, you know, focusing on what it is that you need to be awakening or, you know, things like that, trying to understand your spirit self. And use a purple candle for that and, you know, do a whole session with it until, you know, like one of those little spell candles that,
yeah,
I don't know, can take 15 or 2 hours and whatever. And you can work with it that way. Some crystals that you can use is clear quartz, which is very common. Like when you get a chakra set, usually clear quartz is your crown one.
Mm-hmm.
Amethyst, spirit quartz, which is that crusty boy.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Peacock ore, which is always fun.
Excuse me?
You know what it is. It's like a, you know what it is, bitch.
You know what it is, bitch.
It's that crazy looking stuff. And it's like, it's kind of, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's technicolored, but it's like purples and blues and greens.
Oh,
and it almost doesn't even look real. And it's like metallic.
I always feel like somebody's painted that.
It looks fake. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's peacock ore.
Kind of becoming popular. Like I've seen, we recently saw like somebody with a knife. That kind of looked like that, kind of, not holographic, but kind of iridescent.
Yeah, okay, it's real, yeah.
Yeah.
Petalite? Or petalite? it's a stone.
Pediasure.
Yeah, that's all I was reading, and I was like, and petalite. All right. Or selenite. That's a big one for the crown.
Oh, I love me some selenite.
I do, too. Mm. I love those lovely ones that Bear and Wendy gave us, those little selenite towers. Yeah. It's so good. I love it.
I love a good tower.
Mm-hmm. It's a meaty boy, too. A thick boy.
It is.
You could get out. So this is something, you know, typically when you think of grounding and root chakra, you think of going outside.
We're trying to steal my topic.
I know. I'm encroaching. but that's the same for the crown. You know, your crown is about feeling to be a part of the universe and understanding the world that we live in, you know, from a higher state. Going outside and seeing the wonders of life, you know, pondering those things. That all flexes the crown chakra a little bit and gets it going.
Do some nighttime sky gazing.
Will contemplate the cosmos. Have then seep into a state of panic.
Just have a tiny existential freak out. You'll be good.
And then your crown is healthy.
And it's fine.
Listen to us. We have great advice. some scents that you can use. Myrrh.
Oh.
Cedarwood.
Stinky cheese. Cedarwood.
Surprised me a little bit.
Or juniper?
Yeah. Don't even go there. That's my existential crisis. Frankincense.
Mm-hmm.
Sandalwood.
Yes.
Yep. Rose, which is the big high vibrational oil.
We're moving into little horny's area.
Yep. Jasmine.
Okay. We're there.
Yep. And lavender.
Mm.
Yes.
A distinguished old broad.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a matron.
Mm. She liked the madam.
Mm-hmm.
Or did we say that about patchouli? I don't remember.
Patchouli, I think, was the madam. Yeah.
But she's kind of like a really seasoned madam.
So this is one that I enjoy and I'm very new to, but it always gets an effect out of me, chanting the ohms.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And so the note associated with the crown chakra is B, the note B.
Oh, okay.
So you can chant the ohms in B, but a lot of people...
Now, are we saying in B, like in the tone?
The tone B, yes.
In neighborhood of B.
Yeah, in neighborhood of B. And I think that it was, if I recall correctly, that was about 490 hertz. Wow. Is hertz, I think, the right thing?
I believe so.
But a lot of people chant it in like, is it A minor? I don't remember, but it's like 440 hertz. Mm. But chanting, it's apparently like the tone of the universe. Ooh. But you can chant your ohms. And I'm serious, if you do it for even 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of YouTube ones that keep you on like on the rhythm of it. And I do it for 5 fucking minutes and you'll either fall asleep, which it's a great way if you have issues falling asleep, chanting the ohm, it just calms you down. But you will feel your whole body vibrating.
I've done it once with the solar, after you did the solar plexus. I remember I did a little meditation on it because it was one of the ones that you were reading. And
when
I was
I'm called out.
I need help. And I remember doing this out in my backyard and it was hot, it was a hot ass day. And it was this just envision this big yellow circle kind of pulsing, and it there was a part in it where you chanted it, and that's I talked about it forever ago. That was when I was like, I felt the buzzing that people talk about.
And I'm going to start doing it more. I'm going to get into it. But that's what I have for you today on the crown chakras are all igniting.
Come to Mikasa and see these chakras flexing. You're right. Oh, I'm going to formally request that you light another one of those matches.
I was about to say, I'm going to get a scent.
I didn't really get a scent either, but we did have some bundles going and some, and we got a candle, so.
I'm going to light two. I'm going to pop off two.
Pop them off.
Of these.
Oh, God. I just got you a dud surprise.
I know. Look at it. Man, oh. It's like a sparkler.
Yeah, baby. You tilt it so it can burn down to the appropriate length.
Are y'all lit all the way?
Lit. Lit, lit, lit.
I'm going to be...
No.
What does it smell like to you? It smells like dog. Like, and but like with a good scent underneath, but there's like an earthy dog smell.
Now that you say it, I feel it.
It's okay.
But it okay. I got pancakes. I don't know why.
That's your match scent? They had a match
I mean, I smelled pancakes. Oh.
It's like they had a matchbook scented like pancakes.
No, but they did have cinnamon, and that's what I got.
That's a good.
That's a good solid. All right, let me talk to you today.
Regale me of whatever notes you have that you're so excited about. I'm ready.
It's not even so much that I'm excited about my notes, or not my notes. I'm excited about the topic. Don't get me wrong, but I just had a lot of time to really put these together, and it's been a long time since I've had.
Tailspan.
How? I'm starting to think that there's something wrong with me.
No, it's not. It's me.
Are you?
There's
just
like a parasite in my brain, and it's just
to
it's,
pounce.
It's all I can hear. It's all I can listen for all the time. It's terrible.
And it's crazy because I do it to everybody else, to every other instance.
Hunter started doing it to me.
I can even get you out of recording, but when we're here. It doesn't happen. You've put a spell on this space. I know what you did, you bitch. I clocked you. Somebody give me a white candle. I'm taking
it. Except there's like recorded evidence of me doing it to you at your house way more than you've ever done to me.
So it's me. You've done me. You've hexed me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What am I talking about?
My notes.
Yes. No, I just feel very put together, I guess. Oh, what are you sipping on, Mace?
I am sipping on a glittering mug of Bright Witch Brews Tea.
Bright Witch Brews Tea? Is that the company that was started by Sarah Louise?
It is.
The amazingly talented, you guys. Let me break the facade
These
here.
These teas are delicious.
They're so good. That's right. Sarah Louise has started Bright Witch Brews, and she has this to say. Sarah says, hi, I'm Sarah Louise. I started Bright Witch because for me, tea is a small ritual of love and care.
I like that.
Towards ourselves and others. And it wasn't until I read that sentence that it totally encapsulated the way I feel like when I make somebody a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. It's a little care ritual. She says, I wanted to create as enchanting a sensory experience as possible to truly enrich these moments.
That's a success.
A nail on the head.
Yeah.
Each tea has been specifically chosen for quality of ingredients, taste, scent, and aesthetic. We'll get to that.
Oh.
With a dash of edible sparkles for extra magic.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the sparkles?
They're so beautiful. I'm looking into my tea right now, and it's just glittering away. It's beautiful.
It brings this ethereal, like, fairiness.
It feels like I'm drinking magic.
It absolutely does. And I have been so excited for these glitter sparkles, even before we got to taste the tea. Trying to be as close to wrapped in Vanta Black as I can all the time, I am embarrassingly in love with glitter. And seeing this tea is unbelievable to me. The tea comes packaged in recyclable tins for the environmentally conscious witch.
The tins are adorable. They're tall and slim, and they're adorable.
I'm already thinking of things I can do with them when they're empty.
They make great, like, they'll stick out the top, but good, like, incense holders.
Oh, yeah. And you can write your own little thing. Okay. The tins also keeps your tea fresh. Listen to this. Up to 2 years. That's insanity.
Charlie, I got big news.
Big news.
Big news.
Hit me with it.
Wabah listeners can apply a 10% discount to their carts with the code WATCHBITCH.
That's WITCHBITCH.
No space. With free shipping for orders over $35 USD.
Awesome.
It's important to note that shipping is currently only available within Canada and the USA.
I feel really sorry for everybody who's not in that area.
We wanted, she sent us 9 beautiful different kinds of tea.
Yeah.
And they're all different and they're all witchy as hell.
And very specific each one.
Yes. But like beautiful, like there's ritual at dawn and ritual at dusk.
You can guess which one of us took each.
Yes. Some of my favorites were like fruit-based. There's Fairy Garden, which has like a strawberry base to it. And then Blue Moon.
Blue Moon. Okay.
It's serious business.
It's the first one I asked you about when you said she sent some tea. I was like, was it Blue Moon?
And that was the one I was drinking. I sent Charlie a video and it had Enya in the background.
It did. She's like, if this doesn't soothe you.
And it was me. I was stirring the tea with all the glitter going on. And the Blue Moon is this deep blue and it's fucking delicious. And it was just like a video of the glittery tea spinning with Enya in the background.
It almost, I'm not going to lie to you, it almost brought me to tears. It made me emotional.
It was great.
It was so good.
Dinah agrees.
And if you want to see this tea in action, because it is a wonder to behold, there is an Instagram for you to go to, at Bright Witch Brews, and you can sign up for emails via the Bright Witch website, which is brightwitch.com, for product updates, as well as, and let me just say this twice for you guys, as well as tiny tales for tea time fancies.
That's just a beautiful sentence to say.
Tiny tales
for tea time fancies.
These are short and sweet stories that are perfect for your tea break.
Oh my, that's a great idea.
No.
Great idea.
Every single piece, down to the Instagram, the aesthetic of the tea, the taste of the tea.
These are some of the tastiest teas I have had ever.
Because
I don't say that lightly.
Exactly. We're a lover of tea.
Mm-hmm.
And we've both had that experience where you get a very aesthetically pleasing tea.
And it's a disappointment.
And it's not as great as the, you know, it's a pretty picture. But if you do want to see the pretty picture, because they are, head over to that Instagram and you can see this glitter. It is an edible glitter that brings that spark of madge.
It's just beautiful. And once again, that 10% off code is WITCHBITCH.
It sure is.
Give it a go.
Give it a go.
I'm serious. Like, seriously, give it a go.
I know, absolutely. I'm hooked.
So I think I've tried about 6 out of the 9. All have been incredible.
I've been slamming tea since I got here.
It's wonderful. I'm drinking now, though, is a very close, maybe new favorite. It's that Midnight Cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. It's just warm and vanilla-y almost, even though I think it has calendula in it.
Yes. I am currently sipping on my favorite that I have tried so far. It's called Ritual at Dusk.
You were all about it.
Just from the list of ingredients, which include...
Is it the one that's kind of clovey and like spicy?
Yes. Yeah. It's got cinnamon. It has some orange into it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a perfect winter fall kind of treat, and I am all about it.
Very anxious. Brew this up. Stare into this glitter. Breathe it in. Hold your warm mug. What she said, it's a sensory experience.
Pretend you're a fairy, honestly.
Yeah, honestly.
And just to kind of take something from, I'm taking this from the website. She didn't ask us to read this, but I stole it from the website and I'm going to read it because it's great. All right. So, tea is one of those rare special things that makes distances contract as you share a brew with a loved one over a phone call.
Wow.
It's the comforting warmth on a freezing cold night as the scent of spices and honey permeate your home. It's the refreshing splash as ice clinks and melts in a glass jug as you sit down within the green of a garden. It's the brief retreat and fortitude between chasing the sounds of small feet and wild laughter of little ones.
Mm.
It's the hint that at the edges of those brief, enchanting moments, the fae are keeping watch.
Oh.
With love, Sarah Louise.
That's lovely.
I might have read it on just the right day of the, you know,
were you moved?
And I was quite misty.
It's just very beautiful.
Yeah. As somebody who has not always been a lover of tea, mm-hmm. it perfectly encapsulates what makes it so great.
See, tea is very important to me because having a kidney disorder, I'm very limited on the liquids I can drink. I can't really drink sodas. I can't really drink
a lot of coffee.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. It's like water is what I can have, mm-hmm. except unless there's herbal tea, you know? And so finding herbal tea this flavorful is a treat for me because I drink a lot of tea because that's the only way I can really get flavoring and drink, you know? Mm. And this, it's just good. I'm very, very excited about it.
Warms you up body and soul. Mm-hmm. So again, hit up that website, brightwitch.com, and the Instagram, brightwitchbrews.
And hit up that code, witchbitch, 10% off.
10% is no joke.
No joke. It's no bitch.
It's no bitch on tea time.
So thank you, Bright Witch Brews, for sponsoring this episode of the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
Witch Bitch Amateur Hour!
Oh, yeah!
Bright Witch Bros!
I loved it.
Okay, so grounding is often discussed, and it's a word that's so heavily thrown around, but it's very rarely elaborated on. But you hear it in most rituals, you know, prepare yourself, do some grounding, or if you've been feeling off lately, try grounding. But other than go outside and stick your feet in the dirt, there's not much substance or why you would care or what it is. Is there any science behind, you know, any of this? So I want to break it down a little bit. So I've chunked this up into like, what is it? How it works? Why do you care? This is like a
great,
like a paper I've done, and some useful tools that you can incorporate. And you're going to hear a lot of my physical note shuffling. I quite like, by the way, and I hope someone's not out there just grinding their teeth about it. All right, so what is it? What is grounding? Grounding is sometimes also called earthing.
Yeah.
And it comes in many forms. When it is called earthing, I do typically mean more of the going outside to actually stick your feet in the dirt.
Yeah, that's what
That's what I imagine earthing to being. Grounding, I think you can do a lot of places. Mm-hmm. It's more energy based, so I don't think it matters so much that, you know, if you're on the second floor of an apartment, you know, how do I ground if I'm all the way up here? I think you can do it anywhere. And then there's also centering, which is very similar as well. You can use it in the realms of metaphysical to the mundane, but overall, it's the process of bringing a sense of reality back to your mind and your body. This can be done in an energetic way, and usually, but not always, in a literal sense by directly contacting the earth with our bodies. Or it can be done using several tricks to bring your awareness back to the present. Very, very helpful in situations such as panic attacks and stressful ruminations. I'm going to kind of break away from the metaphysical a little bit later in the episode and talk more about the act of grounding ourselves in kind of a mental health capacity.
Because
I think it's very important to mention as long as we're here on the topic. All right, so how it works. Metaphysically, grounding is used for all sorts of purposes. It can be something as simple as you just want to get closer to nature, take a walk, breathe in the fresh air, to something more complicated like the actual physical transfer of energies between our bodies and the earth. In a mundane / mental health capacity, grounding can break those like cyclical thoughts that we get stuck in sometimes and bring our attention back to the present moment and bring a sense of calm. It's kind of funny because I didn't know that this was called grounding, not just in the like kind of hippy dippy way, but in a clinical sense, it's called grounding. Hmm. So when my counselor handed me a sheet talking about like the signs that you're not very well grounded and how to ground yourself and bring yourself to the present moment, I was kind of like, why is she handing me this witchy shit? Why do you care about grounding? Now that you know kind of what it is, the background on it, why do you want to do it?
Tell me.
That was not a rhetorical question. Macy, why do you want to ground? In a magical sense, I personally use grounding to connect to the energy of the earth. That ancient and organic, like almost tangible energy that the earth can bring.
Yeah.
And in the last episode, we did speak a little bit on when you use your own energy within ritual, like in candle magic, when you're pushing all of that energy through your hands or your eyes, however you want to project your energy, when you're pushing it into that flame or when you're charging those ingredients to use in your kitchen witchery, that energy comes from somewhere. I don't like to use my personal energy stash without having some form of replenishment, or else you can end up super zapped, super drained.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that it's, in most cases, necessarily harmful. I think you're just going to end up running on empty. And then for, God, a couple of days, maybe, you're just going to be out of sorts and strange. And when we're using our own energy, there's that possibility that our energy is kind of carrying around other things.
Yeah.
It's very distracted. It can be negative. It can be murky. So when we're connected to that earth energy, it's kind of, I like to think it's like a purifier. You know, it kind of comes in, sucks all the bad
shit
out.
I see it that way too.
You know, runs a little cleaning on your system.
I always see that it turns my blood gold.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah. That's always how I envision it.
I do
too. That it comes through my feet and it turns my blood gold.
I'll do that and breathing exercises. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, it's funny because it's from the other end. I'll do it when it comes down from above. I'll be kind of thinking about breathing it into my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And then my lungs taking the little now golden oxygen cells and like it's turning all of my body. That's so funny. Okay, so I also view the earth's and spirit energy as protective, so that when you are using and absorbing and kind of pushing this magic around, you're very distracted. It kind of will wrap you up and protect you. So something that is less than savory doesn't necessarily get in and try to take advantage of your distractedness while you're crossing that veil, I guess, as it were. Grounding can also, I feel like every time I say grounding, I'm grounding. Grounding can also help neutralize. Can also help neutralize and rebalance the energy that we are carrying around. This is where it gets a little wild.
Okay.
There is a theory set forth by Clinton Ober that when we walk on the Earth's electrons enter our bodies through our feet.
Yeah, I've heard this before.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I've watched a YouTube on it way back when. Somebody posted it on our Facebook page. And I'm not going into super deep detail because there's a lot there. But the theory is that when we walk on the Earth, we kind of swap our electrons with the Earth's. Just as like when we feel cold or touch something cold, that's an energy transfer, that our heat is being taken from our bodies. Likewise, when we feel something that is hot, like a hot mug of drink, our bodies are doing the work to absorb it. So what I'm trying to say here is there's actual physical transfers of energy.
It gives your body a positive charge.
Yes. And that's what he's saying here is when we walk on the earth, we're having a very similar transfer of energy. And I mean that only because it's a little more of a, it's a little more of a tangible kind of scientific way to look at it versus just saying there's white light coming up through my feet. And it's like, well, you know, it could also very well be something else. So Ober says that when we make direct contact with the earth, there are a lot of interesting proposals that we as humans, and this is so interesting to me, as we've begun to wear shoes and the farther that those shoes have come, like farther away from organic material, as we're starting to wear shoes that are plastic and rubber soles, and they start to replace those organic shoes of hides and you know, leathers and things like that, that we're shutting off that line of transfer between us and the earth. We're creating a physical barrier. Give Clinton Ober a Googling if you want to read more in depth on that. But the basic idea is that we're holding on to all of this electrical buildup, and it's being exacerbated by the amount of electrical stimuli that exists today. We talked a little bit about this in the Crystal Palace episode, I think.
All the waves in there.
We've got the cell phones. And they use, I've seen people use examples of microwaves and Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. 5G is like a big one and all that shit. Yeah.
But carrying around this buildup, it's said to have an effect on us because we are, after all, bioelectrical beings. Our brain and our nervous system, our heart and immune system, they all rely on electricity to function within our bodies. So the claim here, and I urge you to research this yourself. Do not take this as fact because I am not presenting you with all of the information. I just kind of want to pique your curiosity about this and send you off on your own journey. Even if it's to go off and like debunk it or see why you don't believe it, that's cool too. But the claims here are that by grounding, we can prevent some of the buildup that may lead to health problems such as inflammation, blood pressure issues, sleep troubles, and possibly even autoimmune system diseases. So if this does interest you, please, again, his name is Clinton Ober. Or Uber? That can't be right. It's O-B-E-R. Give him a Google. As soon as you pull his name up, all kinds of research about this comes up. He's made videos on the topic. So many people have written articles pro and against. And I just want to urge everybody to always, in all instances, not just this one, keep a critical eye mm-hmm. when it comes to sourcing your articles and your information. Don't just see that something was published in a medical journal and be like, well, it's fact because
they publish all kinds of shit.
You can buy space in mm-hmm. medical journals. So it's just, please keep that in mind. Okay. Anyway, aside from that, earthing or grounding can help in a more generalized way. It can help by encouraging quiet moments. It's very helpful in meditation because some people have, myself included, have problems switching off to that not thinking of anything. Mm-hmm. Even in a guided meditation, your mind sometimes is just reeling. So if you take a second to kind of ground, it can help slow your mind down and get you prepared for meditation. And again, it can connect you to the earth, or even if you're interested in earth deities and connecting to them, it can put you a little closer to that. Not to mention all of the health benefits that we have discussed in the, what was the episode that we talked about, the forest bathing and the tannins and limonene and everything?
I think that was Palo Santo?
Was it Palo? I think it was
Palo Santo. Talked about limonene a lot. I don't remember, but yeah.
And those were, if I remember correctly, lower stress levels and...
Yeah, yeah. So that's like what, and that's what it makes sense to me, like when talking. I'm really, that's one of the reasons I don't like to wear shoes is because mm-hmm. I do believe that a rubber sole cuts off my connection. Right. I feel that. Yeah. I can feel less grounded when
and
I
even
wear
if
it.
We're talking just metaphysical, even that, I think that there's a benefit in that. I don't know personally if you are just speaking metaphysical or if you're thinking like in a very
physical
sense.
No, it makes me feel
sense.
Bad. Yeah. Like I don't feel right. And so, but it goes hand in hand with me, you know, and because even in the city, even with, if you're barefoot, you're on concrete,
yeah,
you know, and I think it goes with the nature element of also the tannins are in the trees, you know, it's just mm-hmm. how I always, it's where we're supposed to be.
Right.
So it kind of makes sense that it all fits together like that, you
and,
know.
And that's why forest bathings gain so much popularity, especially in places where it's just concrete jungle.
Yeah, it's becoming big. I believe it's South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting
I know
to do
Japan
it
as well. Mm-hmm. I know that they're very big and they'll make space for nature to come through, which is very cool and something that I think a lot of people should focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's on a small scale, like it's just you and you're like, well, I can't connect with nature because I live in an apartment building that's surrounded by 500 other apartment buildings.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, something as small as like a plant.
Getting house plants, because I have a lot of plants in my house now. I almost have too many plants in my house now.
They're all bigger than you are.
They're so big. And I got to bring those. But I'm excited to keep those ferns in all winter because mm-hmm. I will have them with me all winter to look at and love on and take care of. And it's that connection. It's exactly what you're saying. It's mm-hmm. that connection with the earth that I can work with them and give them love and shit.
And have a little bit of that with you. Even though you are surrounded by nature out here, you are not very likely to go out and spend that much time in it in the upcoming season.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's my connection during dead season.
Right. And, you know, likewise, I even though I am more apt to be outside here coming out soon, I've actually been making grounding a part of my daily practice and I've been feeling really good about it. And I went and grounded right after I wrote all of this. I was like, I gotta go outside.
I gotta go do it.
And I just kind of sat with my little tree in the front yard and had some coffee. It was fucking great. However, because it is winter, I feel like the energies are a little muted in that time.
Yeah.
Of course, they're not dead unless the grass and the trees are dead themselves, but it's just not as vibrant as it is in like springtime.
Yeah.
So even in that capacity, it's nice to hang out with the little plants inside. We went and I after seeing Macy's, because you had all of your stuff brought in for the freeze that we had, but it was all on like one table, which made it look like
it
this
was very
indoor.
Lush.
Oh my God, it was like this indoor jungle, and I was so like, I gotta get on this. Me and Clark, we I drug him up to Home Depot and I was like, I'm gonna get some plants. And I went and I got a bunch of herbs, and we have a light that simulate, you know, it's a grow light. But that's not what we use it for. But we're sure that someone's gonna call the police. Really? On us.
They see the heat coming off of
see
it.
See all this light. But I've got the little corner of the recording room, just, you know, and I put sigils on the pots.
Nice.
And it's just been such a nice little place to hang out. That being said, if you are a dead thumb, don't be shy of connecting with the earth through other things like crystals, water. I mean, like literally any kind of organic material that you have can connect you to the earth. And you might feel a little bit better about it being alive like a plant, but it didn't have to be. You'd be some just potted dirt. And just stick your hand in sometimes.
Breathe it in.
It'll be fine. Snort it. Roll up a 100 and snort it off a mirror.
Yes.
All right. Where am I? Okay, so yeah, all of the good things can come by breathing by breathing in some, what would you call that, tree breath? What do you call it after they've breathed out their...
Oxygen.
I'm looking for something more colorful, but thank you. What's that stuff that trees make? Okay, so grounding can also... Grounding can also help in moments of high anxiety to bring you to the present moment. And I have some tips on that later. I did not forget about my little mental health jaunt that I'm going to go on. But first of all, I want to tell you how to ground. First, you need to decide what you want out of your grounding session. Are you just looking to like reconnect with nature and get closer to the earth / earth deities? Then get your ass outside in the actual dirt. Touch plants and put your hands on a tree. Mm. I was recently out walking with Dad on their land, and we were just kind of walking around looking at stuff. And we came to this little patch where it's 5 pine trees. And my dad calls it Five Sisters Cathedral.
He would.
But it's this really pretty, and he's going to like build it up and put like candles and shit and make it like a little outdoor altar.
He's a witch.
And oh my God. Anyway, he went and he put his hands on one of these pine trees, and I watched him do it. He just kind of like put his head down and like took a breath, and he was like feeling it, you know. And I was
connected.
He was having a moment, you know. And I remember he like looked over and he was like, "Charlie, come get you some of this."
Aww.
And it was such a nice moment, you know. I was like, "Yeah," and like we came over, we just like had our hands on the tree for a minute. But that will help ground you and get you a little close to nature. If you're wanting to prepare yourself for energy work or ritual or something a little more intense, focus on your energy. And what I mean by your energy is the you that exists without your body. And visualize it, making contact with what the energy that the earth is putting off. I sometimes visualize it like a heat map. Mm. Like, you know, if I was on a heat map, I'd be this big orange blob. Mm. And then the earth is whatever color, usually an orange blob because I'm not creative. And then they kind of go and meet towards each other and they connect and make a nice little whoosh sound when everything melds together. Mm. You can even use the foot root method, where you put your feet into the ground or on the ground. And you connect yourself with the earth by visualizing these strong, deep, thick-ass roots coming mm-hmm. down from your feet, mm-hmm. going down all the way to the core of the earth. Sometimes I have trouble doing that, so I like to think of my foot roots going wide versus deep. And then when I feel like they've branched really wide, like a matted grass almost, then I like have this one big-ass root come down and kind of suck up that energy from the earth. Some people like to picture the earth even like reaching up to them and grabbing a hold of them, because I see where it would be maybe a little pompous to be like, I'm going to come down and suck up your energy.
Take your shit.
It's like, no, the earth is, it's going to come up to me and grab me. So try a little of everything and see what clicks for you. So I want to talk about grounding in the sense of how it relates to anxiety and in a mundane sense. So if you want to ground or center yourself when you're floating away in your mind and not necessarily on like a magical quest, I wanted to add this part because it's important to talk about. It's important to open those lines of dialogue, especially when it comes to things like mental health, because so many people don't know what to do and they're afraid to ask. And they may not even know that what they're experiencing is anxiety. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to diagnose. It's very important to, if you think something's wrong, go see your doctor, yada, yada. But if you don't say it, no one's ever going to know. So here's some ways to bring yourself back down to earth. My absolute favorite one is called Five Things About Five Things. And it's got a lot of different names. We had a Patreon supporter by the name of Brooke C. Brooke says, I've always used the 5-4-3-2-1 technique. And this helped me with anxiety before I even introduced it into my craft. Start with five things that you can see. So right now, if I'm doing it, I see Macy's eyes and they're blue. I see Macy's mic and it's also blue. I see the lamp, right? So you list five things that you see. Then list four things that you can touch.
My eyes are green, bitch.
Your eyes are not green.
Yeah, they're absolutely green.
Since when have your eyes
been
green?
Look at my eyes. They're very fucking green.
You have always had, you have blue eyes.
No, they're green as fuck, dude.
I feel like
they're
I'm
like
tripping.
Emerald green. Dude, you're also not wearing your glasses, so I don't really trust you.
Well, I have always thought of you
they
and
were
Russ
when I was younger.
Having blue
when I was younger,
eyes
they
and dark
were like
hair.
Snow blue. And then when I was like...
That must be what I'm thinking.
When I was a teenager, they turned fucking green. Hmm. I don't even know where it came from.
Then you move on to four things that you can touch. So right now I can feel the weight of myself in the chair. I wiggle my toes and I can feel my socks. I'm just listing ways because sometimes it feels very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You're like, how can I possibly list four things that I can touch. Move on to three. You're going to list three things that you hear. I just heard Macy breathe. I can hear the kind of the computer. Go on to two, and that's two things that you can smell, which is real tricky sometimes. Mm. And it really forces you to focus in on that. And then the last thing is one thing that you can taste. You can also do it the five things about five things method, very similar. So you pick one item and you list five things about it. So Macy's mug, it's, you know, it's ceramic. It's yellow. It's also green. It's really big. It's full of tea. There's five things. And I just want to make sure to give examples because so people can really know how to do it. So that's five things or the 5-4-3-2-1. Another one is doing something physical. Physical activity in a very kind of primal way brings our focus back to the moment because we have to... You know, back in the day, you couldn't just be running and not paying attention, you know, so we've evolved to really pay attention to what we're doing in a very physical, when we kind of change what we're doing physically. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be a marathon, but if you find yourself climbing up that anxiety ladder, you can get outside, take a walk, go dance around for a bit. If you're at work or somewhere, you can even just get up and walk to the bathroom or go get a drink.
Yeah.
I encourage everybody out there, if this is sounding like you and you need to kind of implement some tools, look into bilateral tapping. It's a part of EMDR therapy, which stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's a sequence of tapping, usually around the upper body, that if done, and this is so interesting, if it's done in situations of high stress until you calm down, it will start to be associated with the act of calming down itself. Mm. So therefore, the next time, and you have to do it a couple of times for it to start working, but this is what I've been working on, and it really does help. When you catch yourself spiraling, start doing this bilateral tapping, and you'll start to feel that just by doing that, your body and your brain have come to associate those movements and that thing with calming down. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's forcing you to calm down because that's what you have trained your mind to do.
Yeah.
So it's called bilateral tapping. Look into it and how you do it. And it's not really going to be great if I try to tell you how to do it over.
Physical activity is mine.
Yeah,
like
I can see that.
If I'm getting very nervous, when I had my corporate America job, I would do occasionally, because that job stressed me, I would do jumping jacks in the bathroom.
Yeah.
If nobody was in there, I would just bang out like 10 quick jumping jacks. And that just kind of clears your head. Mm-hmm. And then your blood's running and you're like, okay, you know, you have to breathe a little bit.
Yeah. And it just kind of gets out that that shaky energy.
And now, since I have the yoga trapeze, you have to think when you use that fucker.
Or you'll die.
Yeah. And so when I'm upside down, you know, like I can't just start freaking out or I will...
Break
my neck.
I don't know. Like, and it's that primal sense of I have to stay alive because I'm moving that forces us. It's like a quick snap. I like to do like dancing.
Yeah.
Even if I don't feel it. And it's hard to get me to do it because when you're in that time, you're like, I don't want to dance.
I don't even want to move.
Dancing is happy. I'm not happy right now. But if you put something on and you just force it, fake it till you make it, man, it'll really bring you back down. And the last one I have is breathing techniques. And this is universal. It's huge.
Oh, yeah.
I like the 4-7 method where you breathe in for 4 seconds and out for seven. You can adjust these numbers to fit you, but make sure your out breath is always longer than your in breath. This allows your body to absorb all of the oxygen that it needs to, as well as gives you something to count and focus on.
Yeah.
Because when you can focus on counting, it's like when they say you have a song, when you have a song stuck in your head, the best way to get rid of that is to do math. It's just like an opposite. It's like a different part of your brain, right? So when we're counting, it's going to be a little bit of an opposite brain function for you to focus on. So anyway, sometimes distraction's the name of the game. You don't have to solve your problem that's making you anxious. You just need to calm down in that moment, and that's okay.
Almost just really forget about your problem that's making you anxious.
Yeah. And the problem with that is when you're in that high anxiety situation, all you can think about is how am I going to fix this?
Super fixated.
How am I going to fix this? What am I going to do? And you don't want to calm down because if I calm down, that means it's not going to
be fixed. I'm not going
to solve it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you have to forget that. One of my favorite things to do is as I'm doing my bilateral tapping, I'm thinking if I'm still worried about this in 20 minutes, then I'll allow myself to freak out again. And guess what? I never
Very rarely.
Am.
Yeah.
Unless it's serious, like, oh, my house payment's due tomorrow. Okay. So, back to the magical. That was a little departure, but I think it's important. I have some useful tools for you to ground yourself with. And the first one's really interesting. I've never seen it, but I want to try it. This is from energysockets.com. They say, use a stainless steel spoon to rub on the bottoms of your feet. If you don't have a spoon handy, you can take the palm of your hands and your fingers to rub the soles of your feet. I like the spoon idea. Mm. I'm going to have, it's a little gross.
You need just have a designated foot spoon.
You need a designated foot. You can set it next to your Always Sunny toe knife, you know. Anyway, it says, not only does this feel amazing, it also helps open up the energy pathways that connect you to the Earth's energy field.
Slap the bottoms of your feet real good.
With some cold metal. Mm. When we are connected to the Earth, we feel more at peace, have a better sense of belonging, and can think more clearly. I'm going to try this because I've talked about having trouble grounding before, especially if I'm using like the root method. I just have a problem getting there and feeling like I did it right. And it feels like there's that blockage. Mm-hmm. It just feels like there's a physical blockage between my feet and the earth. I have crystals. The crystals, and you're going to see a theme here. You already know what I'm talking about. If you're Johnny on the spot, you already know where I'm going. I got smoky quartz, black tourmaline, hematite, larvacite, and bronzite.
Great.
Some of these names.
Grounding stones.
But they're all going to share a quality of being kind of dark and smoky, stormy.
Obsidian.
Yeah. Any kind of, it's usually a black or a gray or even a brown, like this bronzite. Yeah.
All the ites.
All the ites and eens. I don't know. I was thinking tourmaline.
And like hematode. What was that one?
Nematodes. Hematite. Right? Yeah, hematite. There are herbs and oils that you can use to help in your grounding efforts. Now, I'm going to kind of just rattle through a little bit of a list, so I apologize. But I wanted to make sure that there's something here that everyone can use. So we've got cayenne, dandelion, nettle, rosemary, vetiver, which is a word that I hate.
Is it vetiver? Is that how you say it?
How did I? Vetiver.
I don't know.
I don't know. I try to avoid it at all costs.
The first time I said it, I said vetivert.
It's okay. There was something I wrote in here earlier. I forgot what it was, but I put like 4 extra T's in it.
All of my notes were horribly misspelled. I don't know if it's retrograde or what, but I can't spell that
can't
great
communicate.
Anyway. But my writing is atrocious right now.
Bad. Ginger, cedarwood, or juniper.
Or
whatever. Sandalwood, cypress, and patchouli.
Ugh.
Don't just take my word for it, okay? With many things, not just this, with anything really, never listen to me. But the biggest way we can learn, I think, is by hearing from multiple people across the board and people who come from they grew up differently, they have a different practice than you, but to share our experiences, and it's a great way to learn. So, that being said, we threw it over to Patreon to ask some of our Patreon supporters what they had to say. We got a huge amount of replies on this. It was like not expected. Mm-hmm. So in the effort of being fair, I D&D style rolled some dice and I allowed randomness to take place and I picked about 4. So Our first one is from Tiffany S. Tiffany says, grounding is essential for my mental health. The most important technique I use is nature. I use nature by breathing in fresh air to clear my head. Oh, that works a treat.
Oh, yeah.
I take walks regularly. Sometimes I take walks barefoot. That way I'm connected to earth as much as I possibly can be. I try to hike at least once a week. Oh, I do like hiking. Mm-hmm. When I hike, I clear my mind and allow the process to reset my mental stability and my clarity. I let it wash away any gunk that has built up over the last week. I touch the ground. I touch the plants as I walk. I allow myself to be fully connected and grounded to all of the elements around me. I allow myself to be fully present. I get straight up hippie witchy with this shit. Anyway, this is my grounding technique, and it's the most important part of my self-care.
That's about what I do.
Yeah. I love the imagery of kind of touching the things and having a sensory experience. It really, anything tangible is so grounding to me.
And touch is my dominant sense. Yeah. You know how everybody has kind of a dominant sense? Yeah. Like Hunter's for sure smell.
Yeah.
His scent is his prominent one. Mine is touch. I like to touch things. And like today, like raking, and then we started our compost pile. So it was like elbow
just
deep.
Like rubbing your hands in it.
Worm dirt, you know? Yeah. And it's just, I love that.
I see that. And you do kind of, you'll run your hands
just
around
touch things. Yeah.
Mine's definitely, I gotta say, it's hearing.
Yes.
I have a strong sense of hearing. I feel like if you watch me, sometimes I'll watch myself in our spooky zone videos and I'll just all the time.
Yeah.
It's like a squirrel. Just look at like what I just heard something. So any hoozles. Daphine N has this to say. For me, the purpose of grounding is to connect myself fully to the present moment by tethering myself to something larger. Symbolically and physically, the earth is a perfect target for focus. It's pretty large. I visualize roots made of light weaving through the main energy points in my body and then connecting to the center of the planet. It draws golden energy up and I can send energy back down. That's an important part of it.
To create like a circuit.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just coming in, cleaning you out and pulling all the bad shit. And then the earth is like, I know what to do with this bad shit. Don't worry about it. To me, the energy feels, they nail it here. The energy feels kind of warm, tingly, and liquid.
Mm-hmm.
The process feels like a shift in my spiritual center of gravity that helps quiet anxious or distracting thoughts. I recently did a meditation where I imagined the boundaries, the walls, floors, ceilings of my entire... This is some good tip. Y'all, hot tips coming in here. Warm tip.
You want
tip.
A warm tip?
Here's a warm tip for you. I imagined all the boundaries of my apartment latticed with the same golden light roots connected that
That's
are connected to the center
nice.
Of the earth. But here's the thing. That way, when I need to ground, the work is already done and I simply need to ground to the floor of my apartment.
That's a good way to get around the whole thing of being like, oh, I'm in
like,
an apartment.
Yeah.
How do I ground? Like,
and being like, it's already here. I've already done the work of drawing it up and it's surrounding. You just kind of need to plug into the circuit. And you're done. It helps maintain my sense of energetic balance in my home as well, as it would.
Yeah.
Grounding is often mentioned together with centering, which to me is the process of paying attention to where energy gathers within my body and focusing on drawing energy inwards towards a specific point. For me, it's the solar plexus is what they say. So I first ground and then I center before doing energy work. Blech. And then they put the little magic symbol emoji, which is like my favorite one. SLS says, I use the roots technique, but I also use the following for everyday usage. Imagine that your body is a bathtub full of water. Now imagine that you pull the plug from your root chakra and all the water drains out. Watch the water level go down slowly, washing away any gunk into Mother Earth. Usually I see the water as gray and sludgy, and then when it drains away, it's just that like leftover white light balanced, you know, which I feel like I really dig this version of it.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, this is really nice.
Very interesting.
I do this when I have a lot of emotion before or after spells and rituals, or when I just feel yuck. I'm probably going to try to incorporate that.
Uh-huh.
That sounds really, really nice. Especially when you're not trying to draw from the earth, but you're trying to like return.
Just get rid of some stuff.
And our last one comes from Lilith B, which I'm not going to say because I'm not trying to out anybody by saying a full name. But Macy, her name is Lilith B.
Jesus, that's cool.
I know. Okay, so I'm just going to call her Lilith Badass is what I'm going to do. So Lilith says, so grounding to me is like tethering yourself to the physical realm so that you can work more safely across the veil. I do a simple visualization of roots growing out of my feet into the ground and going deeper and deeper. I don't ground often, but when I meditate every day, which helps a lot. You can take 5 minutes or 50 minutes. Length is not as important as the clarity of mind and your will. That's important to remember. Mm-hmm. You don't need a full hour of meditation. You can do a 2-minute guided meditation. So those were from our Patreons. Thank you guys. And I just want to say, one of my absolute favorite ways to get grounded is the use of heat, which can really open up those pathways. And as stated before, it can be especially beneficial to implement massage as well, particularly for the feet. I recommend a high number of like small hard objects to properly access those pressure points. Mm. And it's for that reason that the number one no fail way of grounding for everyone is to submerge your feet into a bath of perfectly heated raw bean review footage.
Wow. I think that's the best one you've ever done.
My heart is beating so bad because I was like, don't fuck up.
Did you write that down? Yes! Oh my God, yes! You scripted it?
Yes! I sure did.
Wow.
This is for M to read.
Okay. I just saw the top, even though you circled it, I just saw deeper. That's the end of your notes on that first page.
Great.
All right. Wow. Okay, so.
Do you also see where I wrote, read beans?
Yes, I do. 2 pages back.
Mm-hmm.
So this is titled, The Answer to My Witchy Dreams.
Oh, my goodness.
Written by Mama Made It.
Oh, cute.
I like that. To say this podcast has changed my life is an understatement. Charlie and Macy are not only hilarious, but they are sincere and unbelievably relatable. Parentheses. I feel like I've known them my whole life.
Hashtag relatable.
Close parentheses.
Oh, parentheticals.
Uh-huh. All of the knowledge that I have put into practice has helped me start on the spiritual journey I have been searching for. Heart emoji.
No, I love the heart emoji.
Heart emoji.
Heart emoji.
Mm. Thank you, Mama Made It.
Mama Made It. You know, like at the end of a show when they do their like producer credits, it's like Bad Robot or whatever. I feel like that's one like Mama Made It.
Mama Made It. Well, thank you for teaching me how to be a better grounder.
Thank you for teaching me how to open up my crown chakra.
Crown chakra.
We kind of unintentionally kind of covered the little circuit.
Yeah, it kind of did.
You know?
There you go.
Macy, say you would like to advertise with the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
I would like to advertise with the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
Where could you go to get more information?
You can go to www.
Just the 2 W's. Get all kinds of errors.
404. Advertisecast.com. That is A as in apple.
Oh my God.
B as in dog.
This episode is already
long. V as in victory. E as in egg. R as in Roger. T as in Tim. I as in igloo. Z as in zebra.
What?
Advertise with a Z. You don't still advertise with a Z?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to decide if that was intentional or not.
I wanted to see if you were listening. S is in Samuel.
Yes.
E is in egg.
What are you doing? Oh, yeah, you're right.
.com.
Well, you forgot the whole cast part, okay.
It's very hard.
Slash.
Which.
Nope.
The.
There you go.
Which bitch amateur hour.
Oh.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be in the show notes. You can send us an email. Send us an email at wbahpodcast@gmail.com. No character limit.
No. Sometimes.
I just feel like our last ones, we were joking, but...
It came off you as don't, don't write us.
If you don't have, like, our kind of fucked up sense of humor, you're like, they're bitches. Ooh,
a couple of bitches.
Oh, boy. All right. Where can you let Jim do something horrible to you? I've got no metaphors. You're going to slither into your cup of tea and down your throat.
You can let Jim sow his wild oats.
Oh.
Gross.
What does that even mean for him?
It means whatever you don't want it to mean. And that's at Instagram, Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
Real fake doors. We have one Twitter where we one tweet at
Bitch Hour.
Come meet with us over on Facebook at Witch Amateur Hour.
No bitch.
On Facebook. We have a Patreon if you're an insane person. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/WBAH podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Macy.
What?
If you're into the old school handwritten letter, you want to send a little heart, piece of your heart, send your heart to us in chunks.
One piece at a time.
One piece at a time. I don't know how you're going to do that. You can do it to the sweetest. Most unmurdery. P.O. Box in Tejas. Where is that?
See, yeah, I'm worried that it will sully our sweet little P.O. Box. It won't know what to think
don't
about
do
what
that.
Its contents. It's just,
we will call the cops.
Send another little piece of your heart now, baby.
Ew, ew. Send.
Ew.
Oh.
Don't do that. But you can do that. At P.O. Box 865, Canton, Texas, 75103.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the WBAH podcast.
Yes.
We're actually, here's a little behind the scenes info for you.
I thought you were going to say butthole.
We're actually a little butthole.
Here's a little butthole.
People won't stop putting the gentleman's butthole.
The little cat jewel, the little cat jewel cover.
I just, every time I see it, I want to die.
I hate it.
I love it. But I want to die.
Thing. I wish it didn't exist, but part of me is glad it does.
I wish it never existed, but it makes me the happiest I'll be all day.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to roll right into another episode recording that you'll hear next week.
Yes. About new things.
It's time for us to depart, Fellowship of the Beans. What is that face?
Nothing. What? It's my face.
Let's go make tea.
Tea time. Macy, she just loves her cold baked beans.
Oh, that Macy loves a good cold bean.